Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get down to business here. Lord, thank you for these ladies and their heart to learn. I pray that you'll give me what's needed for this time. Just bless, Lord, now I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in our study about knowing God and understanding about Him. And in your last session, Mrs. Allen went over several chapters worth of information regarding how to set up the notebook about knowing the Lord like she sets it up. So I'm not covering those chapters. I'm jumping ahead. So if you were not here last week, then I would just read those chapters. They're very self-explanatory, very helpful, and I'll maybe refer to that, but we'll be jumping ahead to the chapter that's entitled, How Important Is My Thinking? How important is my thinking? Oftentimes I'll talk about the fact that really our thought processes mark who we are. And victory comes when we think right. And our entire series throughout the summer here at the church was Philippians, and it had the idea of thinking right based upon the mind of Christ. And when we can think biblically, it changes our life. I don't think we understand how many wrong thought patterns we have. This morning, you had just certain habitual thought patterns about when you get up. I don't like to get up in the dark. Winter is coming, you know, or that alarm has got to be the most ungodly thing I've ever seen in all my life, or whatever. You know, I'm just joking, but. And so there are thought patterns, and there are thought patterns that are stimulated by different places where you go, different situations, and there's just a lot of things. And so it's very important that areas that we can make a difference in by the grace of God in thinking right, that we get those areas cleared up so that some of the inevitable unique thinking that will come can be put in that context. She gives her testimony. I'm not going to go through that. She was not raised in a Christian home. It's really quite remarkable when you read her testimony. I would encourage you to read it, how the Lord saved her mother and how God brought her to a Christian college. And in this testimony, I think she's endeavoring to help people come to know the Lord. And it was very, very good. And just the radical change of thinking she had to go through. How many of you were saved in your 20s or above? Can I see your hands? How many were saved? Okay. Do you have any thought patterns that you still have to work on from your upbringing? Yeah, absolutely. Now, those of you that were saved before 20, you also have thought patterns because no home was perfect, no situation was perfect, and so there's a lot of things that we have to deal with. And so she gives her background, which is very helpful. And she says, one of the newest categories in her notebook is, my God wants me to think right. And so she lists verses that are on this matter of thinking right. And let me just quote them for you. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, very well known. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Perfect peace, kept in perfect peace. That's a pretty exciting thought, isn't it? And by the way, that is a biblical truth. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Spirit of God will help you and those in your life think right if you're really trusting Him. So the thought process can be brought under control. 1 Chronicles 28:9, this is David's charge to Solomon. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understanding, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Then, as I've quoted Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, when I think about thinking in peace, it's the verses that she brings up next, and that is rejoice, and that's Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know if it was 3, 4, or 5 weeks ago, there was a message Sunday morning on this passage that I preached going through Philippians, and you might want to look at that. You might want to download that, listen to it, because I deal with the kind of thinking you can have. And so that, you know, is an expanded version of that passage. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, is the Bible fairly straightforward about thinking process? Yeah, it is. You can have the right thinking. I'm telling you, ladies, if you can, by the Spirit of God's power, get control of your thinking and not let it go down pathways that have really tormented you or have caused you to have anxiety or pressure or wrong thinking about people, if that can be corrected, you can have 7 days a week of blessing. Now, let me just say this. This isn't in the chapter here. Our brains are something. They are, many top neurosurgeons and neurologists will tell you there's no way we're even going to come close to understanding the human brain. But we do know that we have the capacity to have habits, to learn, you know, to retain knowledge, to process knowledge. And so they can trace some of it. There are pathways down certain areas that you habitually do, things that you think, knowledge that you have. And so when you have bad pathways, that is a natural thing for you with certain things that stimulate your thinking for you to go down the bad pathway. So you've got to recognize that. And every time you start down that path, you correct your thinking. That's not right. I don't need to be discouraged about that. And then you quote a verse and you start thinking the way God wants you to do. If you will willfully do that over a period of some weeks, that pathway will get shut down. And that's a glorious thing. So I really encourage you to realize that your thought processes can really get cleared up. We can change, but it isn't some zap, you know. It is a transformation process that is very important. So so just keep that in mind. Now, we all have the past thinking. We have the sinful, fleshly tendency not to think right. And our big problem is that we want our own way and we're naturally selfish. So our thought processes all go naturally down the pathway to what's best for me, what do I want, where have I been disappointed, people have hurt me, it's all me, you know. And that's just your default position. I'm telling you, not walking in the Spirit, zoom, you go right down those pathways in your mind. And that's where the misery is. Misery always comes when you're thinking about self. But when you're freed of self and you really are wanting to do God's will and you're thinking right, even when you're disappointed, people disappoint you, things aren't going the best that day, you still have fellowship with God, you still have purpose, you know God's going to work and God's going to turn these things. And there can just be a divine joy and a divine peace in the midst of really not so exciting days. And folks, do we not have not so exciting days? Don't be controlled by them. You control them by the grace of God. Honestly, some of your richest days will be the days where you choose to think right, and God enables you to look at situations and realize how you should respond. So it's self. Oh, woe is me. I don't like this. Let me let you in a little secret, ladies. No matter what stage of life you're in, can you just picture a little girl that's throwing a fit? Okay, can you picture that? I'm sure none of you ladies ever did that when you were a little girl. All that's blacked out of your mind. Did you know that 40-year-olds still throw fits? 70-year-olds still throw fits? Nobody's agreeing. No, ma'am, I certainly am not. But we don't necessarily get down on the ground and do that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, we get upset inside.
But every conversation seems to go back to the same grouches. I have a couple of friends that no matter what you talk to them about, they're always back to their grudge about so-and-so.
Well, then they're still throwing a fit, just to put it in understandable language. That's not pleasant, folks. When you were a little girl, you weren't happy when you were throwing a fit. And when you're now a big girl, you still aren't happy when you're throwing a fit. Okay, I'm just putting it down where we live. The point is, thinking right is saying, what am I doing? That's selfish, it's immature, it's self-focused, it's not biblical. Certainly it's understandable because of the what may be happening, but I am not approaching this right. Therefore, I must ask the Spirit of God to control my thinking. And so we've got to understand that we have this fleshly nature. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and then we turn everyone else to their own way. That's the way we are. And by the way, wrong thinking leads to what? Wrong talking. If you're thinking right, you'll never gossip. If you're thinking right, as Joan said, you won't be a grouch and talk about yourself. You won't be complaining. If you're thinking right, you'll be positive and encouraging to others. You know, it's powerful when you're in the midst of a pretty obvious trial and you're encouraging somebody else about how good God is. That's powerful Christianity. That's why for your family, for if you're working, people around you, that you do think right. And so where is the first line of where we learn to think right? This is obvious. Right here. Okay, you've got to just inundate your mind so that it can recircuit with truth, 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 truth. That's what we're doing today. And right now, what's happening? You're processing what I'm saying. You know it to be true. I've given you some verses quickly, but you know those verses. And so what's the Spirit of God doing? He's quickly, even now, applying that to your thought process, and that's how it gets altered. And the more the powerful Word of God gets into our minds, for the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing to asunder even soul and spirit. Now, what does that mean? It divides and helps you understand what is fleshly soulishness, wrong emotions, wrong intellectual thinking, wrong willful action, and you are able to see what is spiritual and what is natural. And you begin to realize that pathway is wrong. No, the way I'm thinking about that other lady, that's just not right. And the reason I'm unhappy today is not because of her, it's because I chose to be unhappy. Boy, that's a powerful thought pattern for just 30 seconds. Can change your life. I take responsibility, Lord. I didn't rest in you today. Or, you know, you begin to worry about this and worry about that. Lord, I'm not to be anxious in anything. And the Word of God really begins to come back to your mind about the peace of God and that God will give us His peace. And you realize right now I can claim that peace. If I don't have peace and I'm filled with anxiety and fear, what does that tell me? I'm not Spirit-filled. Yeah, no, you're not. That's right. You are not trusting Him. And what do you need to do? This is what, honestly, if you can get in this habit, when all of a sudden I'm gripped by something, I'll say, Lord, you know, I just took control away from you. And get right with God. You know, you can get right with God a number of times during the day. It's a good thing to do. Lord, take back over. I am sorry. Give me your peace for your sake. And He will. He's there. You don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit if you're saved. You have Him indwelling. And so that's very important that we are constantly checking our thinking. And the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God that you know and apply it. So the less you know, the less He has to apply to your heart. The more you know, the more those verses will come up. That's why an extended time like we have the Hour with God concept is so important, because you're thinking God thoughts, you're quoting Scripture, you're praying about these different issues. And so by the time you finish, your whole thought process has been altered by the Spirit of God to be focused upon Him. It's transforming. And it gets you started in a day without that self-imprisonment that we often get into. You know, let me just say this. When you start feeling sorry for yourself and you feel, woe is me and everything's bad, you just, it doesn't hurt sometimes to talk out loud unless somebody's around, you know. Self, stop it, you know. I know I'm not going to go into that dungeon. That's not where I'm going to go. That's not where I have to live. That is just purely focus on my problems, and I'm not trusting you, Lord. And so don't get too close to my office sometimes. You'll hear me talking to myself in there, you know. But honestly, just don't let it happen. Break those patterns. You can't, but God will. Now, she gives some comparisons that I think are really good about ourselves and God. And she said, I see His greatness, I see my smallness. God is great. Oh, I love to go over the attributes of God in the very first section of the hour where we're praising Him. His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence. He's immutable, perfectly holy. You think of His power and His wisdom, and on and on. By the time you go over those, you are just encouraged that, yes, we're small and weak, but He is great. I see His control, I see my ability. God is in control. He is in control. How many times do we think, my situation, He must be wringing His hands about what to do? That's not the case. He's not disturbed. If you'll, by faith, trust Him, He will work it together. I promise you. She says, I see His strength, and therefore I see my weakness. My God is strong. He is omnipotent. He can do anything. He can move mountains. By His great power and stretched out arm, He created the heavens and the earth. And because of that, I can count on the fact that He can do anything for me. There is nothing too hard for God. And I'm telling you, when you get that in mind, then if He's not moving at the moment and you're trusting Him, what He's allowing you to go through is exactly what you need, and He's going to move mountains to meet your need, and He'll work in whatever circumstances. I see His holiness, and I see my sinfulness. Don't be afraid of the holiness of God. Because He is holy, He is perfectly just. He's absolutely faithful, and you can revel in that. And I'm telling you, I want to know my sinfulness. I want to know those deeper things that I sometimes don't see, because I don't want anything to block my walk with God. So don't be afraid of your sinfulness being exposed by His holiness. As I see His power, I see my helplessness. And, you know, there are times we need to know we're weak. In fact, the Apostle Paul, talking about the thorn in the flesh, he said, I glory in that, because when I'm weak, I am strong. I'm strengthened by Him. Did you know that you're never strong when you think you're strong? You're only strong when you know you're weak and you've got to depend upon Him. And so these are wonderful comparisons here. As I see His righteousness, I see my disobedience. My God is righteous. And we're going to be looking at a number of these things. It's a wonderful thing to know these things about God. Oftentimes when I am counseling someone that really struggles with a view toward God, I say, all right, you're imposing your parents or somebody else onto God. The only solution is to get into this book and find out about God. That's what we're going to be doing. Because if you think right about God, then you're okay. But it's the wrong thinking that Satan, you know, right there in the Garden of Eden, I mentioned this on Sunday night, hath God said, he wants to keep you from being like him by holding back the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He definitely impugned the motives and heart of God. And so we have to counteract that and realize that he is righteous. As I see his humility and submission, I see my pride. That's the beauty of Philippians chapter 2, looking at the humility of Jesus. And we need to see our pride, our self-sufficiency, our dependence upon ourselves. Again, when we're weak, he is strong. As I see his giving heart, I see the stinginess or thoughtlessness. As you grow in the Lord, one thing you're going to find, the more you get a hold of mercy of God, do you realize every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights? I mean, folks, we're just showered with his goodness. And the more we understand that, the more we experience it, the more we're going to realize that's not us. We really do think about ourselves and try to take care of ourselves. And in the name of providing for self, we can be very, very selfish. And so it's going to be a lifelong growth when it comes to this matter of overcoming self. And we need to be giving. As I see his wisdom, I see my foolishness. My God is all wise. And she quotes her husband, who quoted someone in the during his Sunday school class, and he said, "There is a God in heaven, and you ain't him." And that's true. I'm sure glad he's not like me. Aren't you glad he's a perfect God? And so our whole thrust here in this series, and as you are endeavoring to maybe take have devotions with some of the things that you were taught last week or read here in the previous chapters, we want you to get to a place where you just are thinking about life from an accurate perspective on God. I promise you, anything you haven't been able to have victory in, you actually have a wrong view about God in that area. If you feel insecure, you're missing how God, what he's done for you and who you are in Christ. If you're fearful, you're missing the fact that he has not let you down and he's not going to let anything happen that he will not take care of and use it for good. So every time you are in the grip of wrong thinking, it does speak very loudly that you don't have the right concept of God in a certain area. So that's what we're going to be looking at here. And it's very important. And as she finishes up here in this chapter, it is important for us to see the greatness of our God so that we can stay humble and dependent upon him. If you're not meditating on his greatness, then whether you want to or not, you're going to become God. My ideas, what I want to do, this is how best to do it. And then that's going to lead to, uh-oh, it's not working. And where is God? And all these other kind of thoughts. And so if there isn't meditation, that's why we must spend time on this and spend time in prayer as we begin a day. The more we know about our God and revel in him, it's just wonderful. I'm telling you, face some pretty major crises in life like everybody does. And having those truths about God right there, ready to be accessed, the Spirit of God can just bring, he just brings them right into your thought pattern and you're okay. And you're able to say, "Lord, I worship you. You're doing this right. I am not alone. This is good. And I really am going to rejoice in you." And it just, I'm telling you, in a moment you can be changed. But you got to know. You got to know about your God. So that's what I trust that you will do. And every part of your life should be dominated by wanting to glorify him. A verse often quoted, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the manifest presence or the manifestation of His divine uniqueness and attributes. In other words, God is seen for the greatness of who He is. And I glorify Him by magnifying Him through my life so that people see the greatness of my God. So whatever we do, even eat or drink, it ought to all be so that we are doing what? Manifesting the glory, the greatness, the attributes of my God. Can't do that if you don't know Him. Can you define omniscience? Have you ever thought about immutability? Ever thought about how holy God is? Man, just a study on any one of those subjects is life-changing. So we're just going to touch on these things, but I believe it'll encourage you. So, is it important how you think? All right. Now, here's my homework for you. As you have your group times and so forth, I want you to leave here thinking right. So we're going to check you at the door, okay? And I got this new monitor, and it lets me know exactly what you're thinking. So we'll zap you, every one of you that walk out, and we'll make sure that you are thinking right. Boy, it'd be scary if there was something like that. That's not what we're going to do. But it's your choice. Some of you came in here, I'm sure, very heavy-hearted. You need to leave here rejoicing. And not because you were here, though that's helped, but because of who He is. So